As human beings continue to die in attics and atop rooftops, and as dead human beings are eaten by alligators and starving dogs or washed to sea or caught up in debris or rotting in hospital stairwells, and as people trying to flee New Orleans on foot, parents with tiny babies, the sick and infirm, and everyone else without a car or not in an official government conveyance, as all these people are turned back at government checkpoints and the Red Cross is denied entrance to New Orleans as if we were some third world nation run by a cold-blooded dictator rather than an advanced democracy whose administration claims to be fostering a culture of life. There has been little attention paid on the news to the environmental damage inflicted by both the hurricane itself and even more by the government's shocking neglect of the levees and refusal to help restore the coastal wetlands in past decades, and especially in the past 5 years since the tax cut movement and the war in Iraq have so gutted the federal domestic budget. But when it comes down to it, this environmental damage is going to continue to harm and endanger human lives for generations to come. Louisiana's coast produces one-third of the country's seafood, one-fifth of the oil, one-quarter of our natural gas, and the strip between Baton Rouge and New Orleans is the nation's largest port. I've heard some honest-to-goodness, self-proclaimed Christians say that the dead and stranded people in New Orleans have only themselves to blame for not evacuating in a timely manner, and even for living in a city below sea level in the first place. How much blame are these people attaching to the major corporations who had oil rigs and oil holding tanks and refineries and chemical plants and chemical storage facilities and gas stations that were also built on a city below sea level? A city located in a state that only barely enforces environmental safeguards, such that the debris flowing into Lake Pontchartrain and the Gulf of Mexico not only includes dead and dying humans and animals and broken houses and furnishings and autos and household chemicals, but also a toxic soup of oil and industrial chemicals. How much blame are they attaching to the oil companies and refineries who built drilling rigs and holding tanks in an area where major hurricanes have been passing through annually, long before the ocean waters were being heated up and exacerbating the problem? How much blame are they attaching to these companies that have not provided adequate safeguards to protect the Gulf of Mexico from oil spills? In New Orleans, Murphy Oil had a leak of an 85,000-barrel oil tank Saturday, and another major spill was spotted from the air that could involve two tanks of the same size. This news would have made the front page at any other time. Now, as we reel from news of a death toll that will probably reach five or even six figures, major oil spills somehow don't seem so bad. Now that any emergency response must get clearance from Homeland Security before acting, why did it take the federal government so long to get involved? Why did they turn back Walmart trucks filled with bottled water? Why did they keep the Red Cross out of New Orleans proper? If it was so difficult for them to get their own rescue teams there until right when Bush was triumphantly entering the afflicted area for photo ops, how come news stations and sports stars and movie stars and Jesse Jackson and Al Gore and Bill Frist had been personally rescuing hundreds of people? Why didn't Bush cut his five-week vacation short until the very last day as thousands of people were drowning or dying of starvation and dehydration? The very man who just months ago had cut a weekend short and pressed his administration, the federal courts, and the entire Congress to act immediately to keep the tubes attached to one Florida woman who'd been brain dead for 7 years. Is this the meaning of the term culture of life? We're not going to get a fair and accurate count of the human dead from this hugest disaster in American history, even as some government officials pour through the private medical records of women and doctors trying to make an accurate account of and attach blame in the case of lost zygotes and embryos. These born human beings, these citizens of the United States of America, have been marginalized in ways that make their loss somehow seem less important than the loss of life on September 11th, even though this death toll is already higher than September 11th and still growing. By day six, President Bush hadn't even thought to order flags flown at half-mast to mourn these human beings and this rich treasure of a city, though it took him just moments to declare the nation in mourning for Chief Justice Rehnquist. In this crazy world, the lives of prominent Republicans, the unborn, and the brain dead are apparently more valuable than anybody else's, and we haven't even begun to think about the birds that have died and will die in this toxic soup that was once the great jazz center and in some ways the very heart and soul of what was once a free and mighty nation. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.